Kadosh. Remember, remember, Adonai Eloheinu.
Welcome to Romamu, an open-hearted Jewish community and house of worship, learning, and spiritual growth. You're listening to Romamu's podcast, where we share words of Torah, insights, and inspiration from Romamu clergy. Thank you for being with us.
A remarkable moment happens in this week's Torah portion, but it's easy to overlook it. This week's Torah portion, Parshat Vayakhel, comes to the end of the book of Exodus, the second of the five books of Torah, and Vayakhel essentially will be about the construction of the portable synagogue, the portable sanctuary in the desert. And that portable sanctuary had many interesting vessels or furniture. One of the most interesting pieces of furniture is called the kiyor. Kiyor is a laver, like a water basin. It's at that water basin that the priests who worked in the ancient temple would cleanse themselves between, you know, at work. They had to do a lot of slaughtering, right, in the ancient technology of the temple, barbecue style. And so they would have to wash off their hands and their feet. L'kadesh et yadayim v'raglayim. They would purify their hands and their feet. The Torah tells us in this week's Torah portion that the kiyor was made of copper. Not just any copper, though, because we already have copper previously. There's tons of copper. The copper in the tabernacle was given, like all other things, from people who gave their gold and they gave their silver, and that has already been accounted for. But the Torah comes along now in this unique moment for this unique piece of furniture to tell us that the copper was given, unlike any of the other copper that was given. This copper was given, bibar'ot hatsov'ot. These copper was given from mirrors of women, asher tzav'u petach omoed, that gathered around the entrance to the tent of meeting. Very strange verse. Vayas et ha-kiyor nechoshet, bet kano nechoshet. They made the kiyor, the laver, nechoshet, made of copper. And also the laver stand was made of nechoshet. Bimar'ot hatzovot, from the mirrors, mar'ah is the word in Hebrew for mirror. These copper mirrors that are sov'ot. It's a strange word. We don't really know what it means. It means to gather, to be formed into a heap of some kind. A number of different interpretive paths that the rabbis took. One interpretation is that these mirrors were the mirrors of the gathering women who came and said, we want to get rid of our mirrors. These mirrors represent our vanity. They represent all the things that we did to make ourselves look beautiful. And we're giving it up. And they gathered, so vote from the word myriads also, that they gathered, and there were literally myriads, thousands of them who gathered up at the temple and gave these mirrors away, as if to say, we represent the purity of this laver. We are trying to purify our lives. We are giving it up. We're going cold turkey. No more mirrors for us. And in that reading, right, the mirror is seen as a negative expression, and those willing to let go of it are now immortalized in this laver, right? It represents the ability to give up something for the sake of something holy and pure. That's one particular idea. Another interpretive path, that that these mirrors were, let me just read the Ramban to you. I'm sorry, Shimshon Farhirsch, the great German commentator, says there's a very deep idea here. He says that these mirrors represent the ability to see something clearly and pure, right? In order to make a mirror, it has to be something that is not, it has to be from zichrit, it has to be clear and pure, otherwise you won't see an image that reflects itself. That the mirrors here represent the yearning to be holy, which comes from purification. Be able to see something clearly without the doors of perception being muddied. Okay? Two interpretations. Let me just get a vote here, like those text messages, as it's like a sermon vote midway through the sermon. Which one of those two interpretations speak to you? Let's just go with the first one, that the women were willing to give up on something that in some way is cast as a thing negative, and they're willing to give it up, their vanity, whatever it is, over the sake of purification. How many people say they like that one? How many people like the second one, which is that the mirrors represent, in general, something pure, right? In order to see a clear image, it has to be pure or clear or clean. And this is, of course, what the purpose of cleaning the hands and the feet is to create clarity. How many people like that second interpretation? Remember, Hirsch is winning. Okay. The Midrash Tanchuma, the Midrash, an ancient Midrash, actually gives a much, to me, much more interesting, profound, many of you know this Midrash. The Midrash says, The rabbis have a folk story here. What are these mirrors? According to the rabbis, these mirrors were absolutely all about vanity, aesthetics, being beautiful. But lest we think that that's something that needs to be given away, something that needs to be seen in a negative light, the rabbis tell a story about these mirrors. They say that after the evil decree of Pharaoh, as we know, Pharaoh decreed that all children should be, or male children should be killed, men refused to sleep with their wives. And that was a problem. It forestalled redemption. It forestalled the growth of the Jewish people. The Jewish people at that point were stagnant. And women in this midrash, in this folk story, the wives knew that this was a problem, and they took mirrors and they made themselves beautiful. And they came to their husbands and said, "Who's more beautiful, me or you?" And one thing led to another. And the midrash says that the meaning of the verse in Song of Songs, "Under the apple tree, you aroused me," in the Song of Songs, is referencing this moment that these wonderful, incredible, right, these powerful, courageous women came to their husbands and said, "Are you kidding? It's risky, I know. To bring a life into this kind of world at this moment is dangerous, I know. But do we have a choice?" And so in the Midrashic imagination, the women that are referenced in the Bible, whose mirrors are brought to become the substance of this vessel for cleansing the priest's hands and feet, this raw material was brought to Moses, and Moses said, "Are you kidding? Mirrors in a holy space? We don't put mirrors in a holy space." And in the Midrashic mind, God rebukes Moses and said, "Moses, don't you know what these mirrors are? These were the aphrodisiac." And the word sovot, which means to gather, becomes the word tzvaot, which means multitudes. Not the multitudes of women who came to bring their right to give up their vanity, but the multitudes that came from that act of civil disobedience on some level, or courageous visioning. And the question, of course, in that third interpretation also is, then what does that have to do with the priests? Why is that substance specifically connected to the priests and their bloodied hands and their bloodied feet working in the tabernacle? So I was teaching this week, and I was struggling with that question. That's the question that animates the three different interpretations. Why, you know, each one has to say, why uniquely is that the story of the cleansing instrument or the furniture? And to me, it seems very clear that if you want to be a priest in the world, if you want to work in the world as a priest, someone who brings about forgiveness, healing, peace, communion, connection, social justice, equity, inclusivity, if you want to fight on today, International Women's Day, for the sake of, for those who have a voice but whose voice has not been heard sufficiently, or whose voices have yet to be fully empowered, if you want to work in that space, and imagine it as a place without blood, without strife, without difficulty, without pain, without messiness. If you're one of those men in Egypt in this story who said, "You know what? Life is too risky. We can't take a risk." You know what happens? It could be that one of our kids, we can't go forward. We can't embrace life. It's too messy. Let's stay here in our own safe space. It'll be fine. Pharaoh's decree will be here in the safe space as we begin the next 8 months of untold messiness in this country. There are many who would like to stay on the sidelines. Let's just be quiet for now, or let's just be uncommitted. Let's just not vote at all. That would really work well. Let's just be like those men saying, "You know, it's too difficult out there. We're in protests, you know, Pharaoh." And the women come along and say, "Are you joking? Do you think life will proceed in that way?" You're giving them a victory, husbands of ours. Come, let's make a nation. And those instruments become the vehicle that the priests will come and look at in the mirror, and they'll say, "Oh, look at our bloody hands. Am I really a priest? I didn't grow up to have bloody hands. I'm a priest. I'm supposed to be meditating somewhere on a mountain. It's too messy for me." No. Come to cleanse their hands and look into the mirror that was used to remind the men, to remind those who wanted to forestall redemption, say it's too messy, it's too risky, it's too dangerous, that we must embrace life. And that is absolutely true of this moment too. The last 150 days have been unbelievably catastrophic in Jewish communities around the world. They've been unbelievably catastrophic in Palestinian communities. They've been absolutely horrifically playing out in small ways, in large ways. It's impossible to get into the season of joy knowing that everything in us wants to say, you know what, am I even allowed to think of joyous thoughts? Can I allow myself to begin to believe in some way? Can I have a little bit of that in my life? And these mirrors come back and say, redemption is messy, it's risky, it's maybe dangerous, but Eros, connection, love, is the only thing that will do it. Fear might win, but it doesn't have the long game that love does. Anyone who wants to serve in God's temple has to look into the mirror and say, am I courageous enough to embrace Eros at this moment with all that that entails, to embrace love with all that that entails, to take the risk and all that that entails? I walked into this building unexpectedly in the middle of the week this week. I was coming back from my other job late at night, and I was in a cab, and I dropped off a dear friend at her apartment, which is only, I guess, a couple of blocks east on 105th Street, and the cab continued west, and it stopped right in front of this building that I work in for the last, I don't know how many years, and the door was open. It's like 9:30, and I remember that I'd forgotten something. I remember that I forgot something in the building, and I told the cab driver, I'll get out here, and I came in to get what I had forgotten, and I walked into the room downstairs, and there was one of our members who volunteers during the week to teach English as a second language to immigrants that are here who can barely speak any English. Late at night, it must have been, I think it was like 9:30, 9:45, and David Willinger was there teaching immigrants, and I didn't ask his permission to say, I'm sorry. I just thought to myself, I said, thank you, God, for bringing me into this space. I wouldn't have known that around this city and around this country, there are spaces like this where people dedicating their time, maybe at risk, maybe giving of their discretionary life in order to lift other people up and say yes to life. And that holds a mirror up to all of us and says, will you do the same? So I want to thank you for that, David. And I want to thank all of those who get messy each and every day of every week, of every month, of every year to bring about a better world. May God bless all of us to be able to ask ourselves, can we and are we willing to get our hands messy to remember those remarkable women who said yes to life?
Thank you for listening. Want more content like this? Subscribe to our podcast and visit romamu.org to learn more about us. Please consider making a contribution to Romamu so we can continue to fulfill our mission to help spiritual seekers deepen their connection to Jewish wisdom and practice to help them become more compassionate human beings. We hope to see you in the synagogue or the Zoomagogue soon. Romamu, Romamu, Adonai.